victory which thou hast given to us in our personal lives and ministry. Many of us from this assembly, several of us were traveling in different parts of the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching and training the people of God, and demonstrating the love of God through righteous and kind deeds. We thank you for safely protecting us and watching over us and bringing all of us safely home. Thank you for all those who stood with us, stood behind us, those who prayed for us, those who supported us, and those who partnered with us in different ways in ELBC for the global proclamation of your holy word. We rejoice together this morning, and as we again open to the great treasures of the Holy Scriptures, we pray that thou mayest speak to our hearts and encourage us in loving you and serving you with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands. We commit this time to you and pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for your faithful prayers for our ministry in India for the last almost 4 weeks. The primary focus was leadership seminars, encouraging, motivating, teaching and training evangelists and elders who did not have the opportunity to get some kind of training. So training was primarily in the scripture, in the word of God. It was given by way of encouragement, by learning and praying, sharing our experiences. 1,270 leaders attended these programs, one in Kerala and 3 places in Andhra Pradesh. One of the great and important things which I noticed was, compared with the previous seminars, the Lord was pleased to give immediate results, because we could see confessions, new planning, new decisions, and even last evening I received several messages that many of them, primarily many young leaders, young evangelists, young men who are involved in youth ministry and in other leadership areas, that they have made it a point to deliberately implement what they have studied without compromise. And they are on the move, on the go, and they are celebrating the great victory which the Lord has given to them in these meetings. In one place in Andhra Pradesh, we were invited by a group of denominational people. 70 of their pastors came and attended. Me and my brother and also another brother ministered along with us. People from Lutheran background, Baptist background, and also from Church of South India, CSI, Methodist, and other independent churches, many of them came. And 3 days we were able to spend with them in teaching the Word of God, encouraging them and showing them the New Testament principles of leadership and ministry about the wonderful truths of the Church of God. That was a unique opportunity, a golden opportunity. I cannot think of a situation like this, a group of denominational pastors inviting people from the assemblies to come and teach. That is the work of God. And we could see from their own, we could hear from their own testimonies that how it was orchestrated, planned and purposed by God, and how they were moved and how they were blessed. The largest gathering was in Pulivandala, Andhra Pradesh. Sister Aravinda and our brother Amar Reddy, their home assembly, 1,000 people. They are good organizers, and they invited people from all over Andhra, and providing food and accommodation, and a wonderful program. 1,000 people attended, leaders and evangelists and people who have other leadership responsibilities. And every evening in all these places we had evening gospel meetings and also general proclamation of the word of God. Thank you for praying and thank you for standing with us in the global proclamation of the word of God in some very important, relevant, needed areas of ministry with great focus, with great emphasis, so that the Lord may revive his church and continue to use God's people for God's glory. Now this morning, I would like to speak on the same thing, not necessarily about leadership, but about serving the Lord. How to serve the Lord? Serving the Lord with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands. Now we heard a wonderful singing by the music team. That is the ministry of music, that is serving the Lord through the talents and the spiritual gifts the Lord has given to our brothers and sisters. And I would like you to see that as a ministry, not as a performance. The spiritual gifts and the ability and the burden and the vision the Lord has given to me and to you, it is a part of our ministry. And the Lord wants us to do that ministry, fulfill that ministry on his terms and on his conditions. That is very important for the effectiveness and for the blessing of what we do for the Lord. The investment of our time, our resources, our talents, and our energy, if it has to be blessed by the Lord, it has to be on his terms and not on our terms. For that to happen, we have to be thoroughly educated in the scriptures about knowing what are God's terms. We have to be trained. We have to understand. We have to assimilate. We have to appreciate. We have to know. And we have to digest what are the principles, what are the foundational truths which God wants us to practice in serving him. Now, serving him does not necessarily mean full-time ministry or being an elder or a leader. That is reserved probably only for very few. But all of us, the ecclesia, the church of God, we are called out, we are called together to serve the living God. And we are called to do it according to his plan and to his will. 47 years ago, I read a book, and it is a very familiar book by E.M. Bounds. He is an Anglican Methodist from, I believe, Georgia. He has written 11 books on prayer. In one of those books, you know, this is what he has written. What the church needs today is not more machinery or more novel ideas or methods, but men and women of God whom the Holy Spirit can use. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women, but through people. He does not come on machinery, but he comes only on men. He does not anoint plans and ideas, but he anoints men and women to serve the Lord. That's a very powerful statement. 47 years ago, I read this, and I had written it down. And again, as I was thinking and dreaming and, considering more about my own ministry and the ministries to which the Lord has called us as a church, that we are committed, we are dedicated, we have the passion, and we have the vision. But we must know what are the requirements for that ministry, young and old, men and women, whether at home or abroad. The Lord will only bless our ministry as long as we lean on him and as long as we are committed to do it in accordance with the meticulous guidelines which he has given to us. So it is important that we know those guidelines, we know those principles, and humbly depend upon the Lord so that we can practice it. Now God can do work wonders if he can get suitable men and women. We read that God is looking to the world, looking on the earth. His eyes are going to and fro, searching for men and women whose hearts are committed to him. He is not looking for educated men necessarily, not intelligent men necessarily, not people who can communicate well. All those things are good and wonderful. But even if you don't have it, he can give it to you. He can compensate for your weakness, and he can strengthen you and use you mightily. But his eyes are watching. It is going to and fro, searching the whole earth, searching the assemblies, searching the churches to see men and women whose hearts are loyal and committed to him. There is, you know, a board in heaven needed men of God, urgently wanted men and women of God with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands, whom God has called and separated, and who are dedicated to lead, to teach, to proclaim, to witness, and to demonstrate the love of God. So shall we turn to Psalm 78? Psalm 78, and as you know, we have discussed this before in some of our leadership seminars, and this has been my favorite verse in the scripture on ministry, and especially on leadership ministries. Psalm 78:72, a psalm written by Asaph. It is a contemplation, a meditation of Asaph about God's faithfulness to the nation Israel and how God has been faithful to them. And Brother Babu Kunjaman recently pointed out that in the beginning of the psalm, verses 5 and 6 and in 7, you know, five generations are included. Asaph wants at least five generations among them to know this great God, his plans, his purpose in redemptive history. This should not be forgotten. And in the conclusion of the psalm, we read about the most illustrious king in Israel, that is David. So that is how the Holy Spirit concludes this psalm. So, and about how David ruled the people of God, about his ministry, about his service, about his rulership, about his rule and reign. Verse 72, the last verse. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Two foundational principles. Skillfulness of hands, that is God-given ability, and integrity of his heart, that is godliness of character. These are the two foundational pillars of ministry, of leadership. It is to you, it is to you, it is to me, and to you. Whether you are a Sunday school teacher, whether you are singing, whether you are preaching, whether you are sharing, any ministry in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God in the church of God should demonstrate these two requirements. These are non-negotiable. And if we don't follow these principles, we will only perform. We will not be able to minister. We will not be able to lead according to the plan and purpose of God. Our ministries will not impact anyone. It will be just an ostentatious parade of our knowledge and carnality. And it will have zero value in eternity and in the presence of God. So David shepherded the people of God. Now why the Holy Spirit uses the word shepherded? David was a king. He was on the throne. He had great authority. He was ruling the people of God. But any ministry which we do in the name of the Lord and for the people of God is seen as a shepherding ministry, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That is the most favorite imagery in the scriptures about mission, about service, about leadership, about serving the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. The prophets in the Old Testament are called the shepherds. David's rulership is called shepherding the people of God. When Apostle Peter was reinstated by the Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel chapter 21, three times the Lord told him, at the time of restoration, three times the Lord told him, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. Three times. Peter, your ministry as an apostle, as a leader, as an evangelist, as a great leader in the church, it is not just being a leader, not being a dictator, not by preaching or teaching. It is shepherding work. That is why in the Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul told the elders that the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the flock of God. The duty of elders is to shepherd the flock of God. Jesus Christ said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. When Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, when Peter wrote to his fellow elders, 1 Peter 5, 2, he said the same thing. That is, shepherd the flock of God. Tend the flock of God. Be shepherds to my people. So, brothers and sisters, what I'm saying, whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit never changes the vocabulary, never changes the game plan. It is the same thing. It is shepherding. That means caring concern, caring love, healing, guiding, feeding, protecting, defending, providing, safeguarding. It is a healing ministry. Our service should be redemptive ministry, healing ministry. It should be guiding ministry, directing ministry, counseling ministry, and feeding the flock with the word of God. So, the spiritual principle is the same. So, David shepherded the people of God. Not David ruled the people of God. Now, what about this David? Look at verse 70 and 71. Three important verbs. He, that is God, also chose David his servant. So, God calls and God appoints. I don't volunteer to do that because in my own skill, I won't be able to do it. So God has to call. God has to appoint to us in specific areas of ministries. God has to give us that burden. Just now we heard from Reggie about the burden the Lord has planted in his heart and in the hearts of others. It is, you know, the burden, the focus. When the prophets prophesied in the Old Testament, in many prophecies we read the burden of the Lord came to prophet Obadiah. The burden of the Lord. Our service, our ministry, our mission should come to us as a burden. It should come from the Lord. It should be initiated by the Lord. He also chose David, his servant. Then look at the next verb. And took him from the sheepfolds. So God chooses and God takes. Verse 71, from following the ewes that are young, he brought him. So God calls, God chooses, God takes, and God brings out. I can see that in my own life. After serving the Lord 41 years, many of you can relate that to in your own life and ministry and experience, even though your life may be, ministry may be quite different from mine. The Lord calling, the Lord separating, and the Lord equipping, and the Lord bringing you out. And when the Lord does that, nobody can prevent it. When the Lord brings you out, you don't have to push your way through. In my 41 years of ministry, I have seen many young and old people, you know, who try to push their way into ministry, into pulpit, into music, into many places. You know, and they never do well because it is their agenda. They try to push open the doors. But the Lord has to bring you out. When the Lord brings you out, when He opens it, nobody can shut it. You can be confident of that. So the Lord chose David. The Lord took David. The Lord brought him out. For what? To rule the nation? That is true. But look at the vocabulary of the Holy Spirit. To shepherd Jacob, his people. To care for the people of God. To teach them, to train them, to equip them, to evangelize, to lead, to demonstrate the love of God, to touch them with the love and grace of God, with the forgiveness of God, to show them eternal truth from God's word. And how did he do it? The two non-negotiables. How did he do it? With the integrity of his heart. That talks about the character. Now, this is Old Testament. But look at the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, there are 16 qualifications of the elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 14 of them are related to their character. Don't miss this. 14 of them are related to their character. 2 of them are to their skill, their ability. Both are important. But the predominant emphasis is on the character, godliness, spiritual maturity. The only two skills mentioned there, he must be able to teach, didacticon, one who is an apt teacher, and also his managerial skill, that is, one who manages his own household well. The word of God is very clear. If we take the time and spend the time, spend hours to search it and to find exactly what the scripture is saying. 16 qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 for elders. And most of them, 98% of them are related to the integrity of heart. But 2 of them related to their skill. In the same thing in Titus chapter 1, the qualifications of elders are given, 18 qualifications in the translation of New King James Version. Most of them are primarily related to the character, integrity, godliness, fear of God, spiritual maturity, without which we cannot serve God. Now, I always have used this illustration. I think Brother GPJ has repeated it. You know, the hamburger theology of service. That we can serve the Lord in any way we want, like the Whataburger theology. You know, we will fix the hamburger any way you like it. You can't serve the Lord any way you like it. You have to be trained in the Word of God. You have to know the principles. You have to develop godly character and maturity. You have to be a godly man, a godly woman. That is a requirement. Otherwise, you will be disqualified. Now, the Word of God does not ask us to be perfect. Even in the qualifications of elders, it only tells blameless, beyond reproach, not perfect. None of us can be perfect. But we grow in maturity, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Loving him and leaning on to him, that Lord, you have given me this service, this ministry, this burden. I want to do it, but I know these are the requirements, and I want you to give me the grace to progress on this track of godliness. That must be the passion of our life. Now Gideon had 32. Out of Gideon's army of 32,000, God could only use 300. Dear brothers and sisters, the ratio has been the same in church history. Only very few, because there is requirement. If you apply for a job anywhere, there are stringent requirements. Don't think that serving the Lord is so casual. See, in denominations, this is not a problem. But in our assemblies, this is a problem. In denominations, it's not a problem because to serve in denomination, they have stringent regulations. And only people who meet those qualifications and regulations can serve them. Others cannot. But our understanding of the scriptures, through our understanding of the scriptures, we have known the freedom. There is no distinction between laity and clergy. We all can serve the Lord. But some people have made it so casual that this is can be done in any way you like. You can't. That is the burden the Lord has given me to preach around the world. This has caused in the decline of the quality of the ministries of the assemblies around the world, whether it is in the West or in the East. And anyone and any man kind of no man, one man thing is replaced by any man kind of thing. And people seldom pay attention to the deep principles that are there that we need to really understand and appreciate and humbly receive from the Lord. Skillfulness of hands and integrity of heart. What do we mean by skillfulness of hands? The word is very clear. You know, in order to do your job as a software engineer, some of you are, some of you are doctors, some of you are nurses, some of you have, you know, other work, and you need an expertise to do it. That is exactly what this verse is saying. That in order to serve the Lord, you need certain skill. Now, that does not simply mean education or your own skill which you develop. In the language of the New Testament, the skillfulness of hands means the spiritual endowments, the spiritual giftedness, God-given ability which the Lord gives to you to serve Him. If the Lord calls you to lead the people of God, He will definitely give you the skillfulness to lead the people of God. So the skillfulness is the God-given ability which He implants in you to equip you to accomplish His plan and purpose in your ministry. That skill is needed. And God gives that skillfulness of hands, heart and hand. Heart represents our character, godliness, which is primary. The other thing is the hand, the skill. Now there is another very important truth in relation to the skill. Every skill has to be developed. Even if the Lord has given me a skill, a spiritual gift, I have to develop it. I have to exercise it. Paul reminded Timothy that fan into flame the gifts the Lord has given you. Exercise it, develop it, sharpen the skills which the Lord has given you. How do you do that? You do that by learning, by listening, by education, by observation, by association with godly men, by taking the time, by paying the price, and by paying the fees, and meeting the requirements. That is the only way. This is a forgotten truth, brothers and sisters. This is a forgotten truth. You know, you need to improve the skill which the Lord has given to you. Otherwise, you will be rusty. You won't be able to do anything. In order just to serve hamburgers in the fast food chains, you need training. How to talk to people, how to relate to customers, how to pack the hamburger, how to pack the French fry, you need training. To lead the people of God, to serve the living God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you need a great training under the direction of the Holy Spirit. giftedness, God-given ability which he gives. And he has given that to all of us. But it is our responsibility to develop on it by walking with spiritual giants, by reading, by studying the scriptures, by learning from the word of God, and knowing the plan and purpose of God, and being sharpened so that we may be able to fulfill God's plan and purpose. Now, this principle, Psalm 78:72, integrity of heart, skillfulness of hands, that is exactly the same in 1 Timothy 3, in Titus chapter 1, in the requirements for leaders and those who serve the people of God in the New Testament. Let me show you these two foundational principles spread throughout the scriptures. First of all, shall we turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 18. You know, it's very important for us to know that the Holy Spirit never changes the game plan in relation to ministry. From the very beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the same. In integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands, in Exodus chapter 18, these are the words of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. His advice to Moses that he should delegate certain responsibility to others, that he himself cannot do it all alone. Okay. Verse 21, Exodus 18:21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, skillfulness of hands, such as fear God, integrity of heart, men of truth, integrity of heart, hating covetousness, integrity of heart. Integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. Moses' father-in-law's advice. You know, and the Holy Spirit has recorded that for us. Let me show you another verse from Exodus chapter 35. About the artisans who were called by God to build the tabernacle. Verse 30, Exodus 35:30, and Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Integrity of heart, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge, skillfulness of hands, and all manner of workmanship. Integrity of heart and skillfulness of hand in serving the Lord. Non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. God does not compromise on it anywhere in the scripture. So, another passage in Acts chapter 6, when seven men were selected to serve on tables. Seven men were selected to serve on tables. So we would consider that to be a very humble ministry, you know. The apostles had great other responsibilities, and these men were selected to serve on tables. And what do we read about them? I will read those verses to you. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men. For what? To serve meals for widows on the table. And what is their requirement? Men of good reputation to serve meals? Yes. Men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Integrity of heart and skillfulness of hand. For what? To serve food for widows in the church. Because it is for God's glory. It is a ministry in the ecclesia of God. And it has its dignity, sanctity, and reverence. Sisters, don't miss this. Your ministry is usually behind the scenes. You make things happen for many of us. We appreciate that. But on the basis and authority of God's word, I want to remind you that have this elevated, noble understanding of what you do. A simple thing, you are cooking, you making the coffee, you feeding a servant of God, taking care of a child. Whatever you do in the assembly, do it with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands. That's a great truth. That's a great truth. No, my heart is overflowing with this. Oh, I'm overwhelmed by this because for many years I did not know this. I have been serving the Lord to the best of my ability, and the Lord blessed my ministry, no doubt. But the Lord showed me these wonderful truths and gave a passion and a burden in me that God's servants, God's leaders, young and old, men and women, all should be educated in these foundational principles in God's word in relation to the meaning of ministry. Ministry is service for the Lord. So David shepherded these people of God with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hand. God willing, in the coming days, I want to show you from the very life of David how he developed integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands, because that is not overnight. So let me just use an illustration. Stancy, my good friend, he's well built, tall, and I'm not ready for a fight with him. If you ask him, Stancy, did you eat a steak yesterday that you are so healthy today? No, that's not the secret. It is the diet, the exercise, what mommy and daddy fed him, what he himself chose to eat, and the disciplines of his life for the last many years that made him healthy. And that is true of all of us. It is not because of a hamburger or a glass of milk we had last evening that we are healthy today. The skillfulness of hands and integrity of heart is like that. It is not overnight. It is a steady flow. It is a steady growth as you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and honor him every step of the way, knowing his will, plan, and purpose, and by deeply immersed in his holy word. So we will look at another time, God willing, how David was able to develop integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands in his own life. May the Lord bless us with his holy word, shall we pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the challenge and the encouragement and the motivation that has come to us through the power of your holy word. Pray that we may be richly blessed and we may be encouraged by the hearing of the word of God, that thou may instill a great passion in our hearts to diligently follow after these wonderful scriptural principles of serving you, of loving you, and serving your people. And to that end, we commit ourselves to you and ask you to take us in your hands and help us to develop integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands, that we may be able to do our work for the glory and reputation of our Savior and for the blessing of many others in and out. We thank you and praise you and pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.